Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld. This program is about the evolution of consciousness, who we are, how we're changing our culture, how new ideas are coming in at this accelerated time in order to bring us collectively to a new way of understanding who we are and what we're capable of in the world. And my first guest tonight, John Murphy, calls himself a Zentrepreneur. And I would imagine that's a new way of entrepreneurship. So welcome, John, to the program.
And thank you, Alan. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, you were. Can you define Zentrepreneur in the way you use it?
Well, sure. It's a combination of Zen and entrepreneur. So when we talk about Zen, we're really talking about being present, being in the now, being focused, being balanced, being positive. It's a sense of grace and peacefulness, poise, confidence, composure. And we combine that with entrepreneur, which is taking action and being bold and taking some risk and getting things done. And a lot of people have good ideas and they don't do anything with them. And a lot of people do things with ideas that aren't any good. And so Zentrepreneur is really a combination of how do we select and identify ideas that are really going to make the world a better place and be win-win solutions, and then act on those accordingly so that we get win-win results.
You have to start, I mean, I understand that. So can you give me some, I'm a sort of entrepreneur and I'm sort of relaxed, but I mean, give me a specific example that I can use in my business dealings to get better results.
Well, the first thing we've got to do is recognize that we're part of something greater than ourselves. So, you know, sometimes as entrepreneurs, and I'm an entrepreneur, I've started many businesses, and I had two businesses started by the age of 17. So, you know, I've been entrepreneurial my whole life. My current business has just celebrated its 25th birthday. So, you know, I've had a lot of practice with the topic of entrepreneurship and taking ideas and doing something with them. And the key to it all is to recognize that we're part of something greater. You know, we're part of a system and part of a culture and part of an environment. So one of the keys is to make sure that we have people who are helping us help them help us, so to speak. It's a win-win-win. It's an interdependent relationship where we're not trying to do it out there on our own. And a lot of times the ego gets in the way when we're trying to do things all on our own. And, you know, the Zentrepreneur is looking for ways to tap resources all around us. I mean, opportunities and resources are abundant. And we recognize the law of abundance as opposed to the law of scarcity, which is, you know, in order for one to win, somebody else has to lose, the win-lose mindset. So we recognize the law of abundance, and we tap that abundance, that universal flow, if you will, and we get phenomenal results because we get a lot of people helping us help them. Teamwork.
Well, give me an example of a specific case where you did that for somebody.
Well, sure. I mean, I've had, for example, I had in 1993, I had somebody say to me after attending one of my workshops called Pulling Together, and Pulling Together is about just exactly what it sounds like. How do we pull people together? The Congress and the, you know, the Senate and the government right now could certainly use a lesson in that. But as we, I was at the Pulling Together, they said, well, you know, where's the book Pulling Together? You ought to write a book Pulling Together. And I hadn't done that. And I listened and I thought about it. I contemplated it. And I did. So I wrote a book called Pulling Together, The Power of Teamwork. And that book became a great seller. Somebody reading that book told me, you know, you have an interesting way of giving examples and giving anecdotes and telling stories as part of your writing. You should write an allegory. And I said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. What's an allegory? You know, I didn't know. So, you know, an allegory is essentially like a business novel, a parable. So I read a couple of allegories to learn how, and I wrote my first allegory, and it was very well received and endorsed by some, you know, some great
can
leaders.
Tell me what I love allegories. Could you tell me that allegory, the one you wrote? I mean, a little overview or I mean,
sure.
I think in that allegory, there's lessons to help everybody, right?
Exactly. Oh, very much. So this particular one, because I ended up writing four, this particular one's called Agents of Change, Leading a Cultural Revolution, and it was endorsed by the ambassador to Italy at the time. It was endorsed by Ken Blanchard, the one-minute manager. It was endorsed by a multi-billionaire, Richard DeVos. It was endorsed by all kinds of executives and leaders, military leaders, because of its simple way of teaching something very profound, which great masters have done, of course, for thousands of years. So Agents of Change was an allegory about how do we lead culture change in an organization that's stagnant, that's fearful, that's stuck in its ways. You know, we all have habits that are tough to break, and corporations are no different. And so I wrote Agent of Change. That book took off, and then I had a university professor, a friend of mine, read it and say, well, John, you know, you need to write an allegory, a sequel to this book. And I said, sure, okay, like what? She said, well, in this story, you talk about this guy that was essentially in the way, and he wasn't getting it, and, you know, he had to move on to other things. And you need to tell his story, because everybody can relate to people like that. They're constraints. They're bosses that just get in people's way, and they just don't get it. And you have an interesting way of handling that in the book, Agent of Change. Write the sequel, only this time write it from his point of view. So once again, there's an idea. It turned out to be a very good idea. It wasn't mine. But the Zentrepreneur listens and pays attention to people and pays attention to circumstances. And when we see something that is an opportunity for a win-win to help people and to help ourselves along the way, it's powerful. So I wrote a book then called Reinvent Yourself. It was a sequel to Agents of Change. And Reinvent Yourself was picked up by a nationally syndicated newspaper writer, a guy named Dale Doughton, and he wrote a phenomenal piece about this book. And the next thing you know, it's going viral, so to speak, before that term was really popular. Well, this was back in the mid-90s.
Could you give me the allegory? I'm interested in the allegory of AIDS. Could you actually tell me that story? Because I'd like to know what it was, if you don't mind.
Sure. So Agents of Change. Yeah, Agents of Change is a story written from the perspective of a fictitious character, a guy named Jack McDonald. Jack McDonald is running a company. He's the general manager for a division of a company called TIPCO, which stands for Typical Company. And so Jack McDonald's running this division of TIPCO, and he's just attended a seminar, so to speak, on how to pull people together, which is what my first book was all about, and how to lead culture change. But it appeared academic. It appeared very, you know, sort of textbook. And so his challenge was, how do I take these learnings that I got in this workshop or this seminar, or could it even have been a book that he read, and how do I make them real in my current culture, in my typical culture? How do I do that? So he meets a consultant, a guy named Jordan McKay, and Jordan guides him through the process of culture change, where he helps people get past fearfulness. He helps people get past their own limiting beliefs and doubts. And he opens the channel up. He opens the gates up for ideas and innovation, imagination, creativity, which is what I do, by the way, as a consultant. I mean, I've been consulting for 25 years now, and that's what I do. I go into corporations and organizations. I've worked with the military. I've worked with the Navy. And I help them open up to ideas and really cultivate a sense of fearlessness and innovation and creativity, where amazing things happen. So the allegory is, you know, to your question, Jack McDonald, he leads this culture change. But in the process of doing it, he has to recognize and do something about constraints, those obstacles, those barriers that we all run into. And sometimes that happens to be a person. Sometimes it's a policy, you know, sometimes it's a procedure. Most often they're all related to assumptions and paradigms, mental models that we just believe to be true that are simply not. and we just habitually do things over and over again. Like Einstein once said, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, you'd be surprised just how insane some business practices are these days.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to change those is to think about it in a very different way.
Right. Well, maybe you can help me, because I'm, like, involved in a couple of projects, but they seem to be go on forever. So I have a choice between rushing through it just to get it done or going about it very slowly and meticulously and making sure I don't miss anything, but that seems to take forever. So I don't know what to do as far as a couple of things I'm working on. What do you suggest?
Well, one of the practices I use every week almost, and certainly every month with companies all over the world, is a practice called Kaizen. It's K-A-I-Z-E-N. It's a Japanese word, Kaizen. And yes, Zen, Z-E-N, the end of that word is the same Zen as in Zentrepreneur, which is, you know, think good, think positive, think well-being, think balance. And Kaizen is a practice where you put a team of people together in a room for 3 or 4 or 5 days with the proper preparation and training, and you get decisions made, you get actions implemented before you leave the room. You actually make change, which is the literal translation of the word Kaizen, make good change. You make good change in a matter of days as opposed to weeks or months or even a year. And I've had people for many years now tell me, John, we got more done in 5 days than we typically do around here in a year, or 6 months, or 9 months, or 10 months. And that's powerful, and it's exciting, and it's motivating. So, you know, that's one technique, one tool set that I use. It gets things done in a very positive way. Do we get it right the first time, every time? No, but we make it better, and we make it better fast.
So let me ask you, then, do you set goals, and let's say you're not getting to your goal, how do you take a Zen approach? You stress out because you've set a goal and you have to get to that goal. I mean, how do you work with that?
Well, the whole Zen part of it is that there is no stress. You know, stress is of the mind, fear is of the mind. We take that out of the equation. So one of the critical factors to a successful Kaizen is that it's properly scoped. We're not going to boil the ocean in a week. You know, we're not going to solve world hunger in a week. But I'll tell you what, we can feed some people, and we can make a positive mm-hmm. difference. And we can get a first down, maybe not a touchdown, so to speak. And that's going to mm-hmm. build momentum. It's going to help people get excited. They're going to be asking at the end of the week, when do we get to do this again? Which is exactly the opposite of people fearing change and being stressed. And, oh, this was, you know, the kinds of stuff people typically hear in a company. It's exciting. It's
so
fast.
I think yeah, I'm listening. Yeah.
And I was just going to say, and it's contagious. I'm working with a company right now with 60,000 people, and it's catching fire. People are getting excited about these Kaizen events that we're doing because they're finally getting changes made to a system that they've struggled with for years.
So what I think I get what you're saying is before you set a goal, you set goals that are easily attainable within the scope of the project, and when you reach your goal, it's actually a time to celebrate as opposed to setting a goal that's way too big to kind of succeed in a limited time frame. So you make goal setting a kind of easy going accessible tool that motivates people to go further. Is that right? Would you say that?
Yeah. For the most part, but we have long-term, big, bold, transformational goals. So we have step change in mind. We're looking for things that are truly going to transform. In other words, we don't want to take a company, you know, I'll use Blockbuster as an example, because Blockbuster, as you know, essentially no longer exists. We don't want to have a Six Sigma, world-class, perfect Blockbuster model when the entire model is become obsolete. We got to be innovating. So we got to be thinking like Amazon, who's saying, look, we got a pretty effective book distribution system, but why don't we eliminate books entirely and just beam the information to people, through the air to a Kindle? So we've got to continuously have bold, aggressive, transformational type goals. But those goals aren't going to happen in a week. So we need to break it down, and we need to run these Kaizen events and creative events to a point that we can get measurable results by the end of the week that move us in the direction we want to go. But the reality of it is that we never actually get finished. There is no end to it. It's a continuous journey. So the real trick is, are we working on the right problems? Are we working on the right priorities? And are we moving in the right direction? Because actually, we never get there. We continue
to improve. I get that. But what's most exciting for company? What excites people the most when you work with them?
Eliminating barriers, eliminating obstacles, constraints, including self-imposed constraints like fear, disbelief, skepticism. Wow, we tried that before. That'll never work. Or you just don't get it. You don't understand. And it's wah, 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 wah. I run into a lot of that, and people think, here comes another consultant, or here comes another, change management expert, whatever. But when people start to realize that it's all about eliminating obstacles, and that ideas are meant to flow, and that people and human beings are meant to flow, we're meant to move, we're meant to grow, we're meant to evolve, and that's what the spirit in all of us is calling for. It's calling for expression. It's calling for a manifestation of creative ideas. We're co-creators with Source. So when we get things out of our own way, and I help people get things out of the way in a lot of different ways, when we get things out of our way, when we let go of resistance and we let go of criticism and doubt and skepticism and these limiting beliefs and all these things holding us back, it's miraculous. It's amazing what happens.
Well, it's very exciting. And so the name of your book is Zen. The most recent book is called what?
Zentrepreneur. And the subtitle is Get Out of the Way and Lead. So meaning we often get in our own way and create a culture of innovation and fearlessness. In other words, learn ways, and I teach ways, to get past fear, to get past doubt, and actually allow our true self, our spiritual self, to express itself and manifest these ideas into something really, really helpful and powerful.
Well, John, I thank you for being a guest. If you could sum up in like one sentence what you think the most important thing that people should get about Zentrepreneur, what would it be?
I'd say learn ways to get out of your own way and let flow what is meant to flow. These include fear, doubt, limiting beliefs, programming that we've grown up with, whether it came from our schooling or our parents or our peers. We've all been programmed. Learn ways to let go, and I teach these ways. In fact, I have a session next week, this coming weekend in New York City. It's for the New Yorker. But learn ways to get out of your own way.
Thank you, John Murphy. He is going to be at the New Life Expo at the New Yorker Hotel October 25th, 26th, 27th. You can go to newlifemag.com. John, thanks. I got something out of what you just said there, okay?
Well, good.
and I'll talk to you. I'll give you a call after the show. And thank you. Thanks for being a guest so much, okay?
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Okay, this is Alan Steinfeld. Stay tuned for my next upcoming guest. Thank you.